No sound.
Rightio. You weren't expecting that, were you, mate? Okay, it's all about accountability. Today, Isaiah 55:10-13 is the text. And that's on page 733 of your pew Bible. And God is speaking through Isaiah, and he says here, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. And this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, speak to us through your word. You are alive and living. You communicate with us. You desire to have relationship with us. And so you speak to us. Words of power, words of strength, words of encouragement, words of guidance. So Lord, speak to each and every one of us deep within our spirits this day. Teach us through your word. Let us hear what you have to say to us. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Last week I shared with you that I feel that God has given me a place to start here in ministry, a mission with you at HDK. And this is because of the fact that you are the Church of the Holy Trinity, and that God led me to a book by Gordon Smith that was called Sacramental and Pentecostal, Why the Church Should Be All Three. And I feel this is where God is calling us to begin our ministry and mission, with the evangelical, with the word, with the sacramental, the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, and with the Pentecostal, with the power of the Holy Spirit. These three principles, the evangelical, the sacramental, and the Pentecostal, have their correlation with the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last week I shared with you that God is a missionary God. God is actually on a mission, and God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church was made for mission, for God's mission. And so if we're going to be on a mission with God, we need to be people of the word. We need to be an evangelical church. Now, in the current social climate, to say that you are evangelical can bring a certain amount of derision upon you. Once upon a time in the 1950s, a person who was an evangelical was a person who liked Billy Graham. But even by the late 1980s, Billy Graham was once asked in an interview, "What is an evangelical?" And you know, he said that the answer to that question was something I'd like to ask somebody else. He didn't really know what an evangelical was, even though he was the founder of the evangelical movement. And even evangelical today can refer to the missionary methods of the big mega church. It can refer to a church that has a very literalist, fundamentalist view of Scripture. And we know that in the United States today, an evangelical is a Christian who supports a right-wing political party. And many evangelicals are Donald Trump supporters. To truly understand what we mean by evangelical, we have to go back to the original meaning of the word. Evangelical comes from a Greek word, euangelion. Can you say that? Euangelion. Very good. And euangelion is a word that means good news. And I'll tell you how it came about. In the old days, before there was internet, media, and landlines and cell phones, what used to happen was that countries would go out to war with each other and kings would lead the armies in battle. And so if your particular king won the battle and there was great victory, what would happen would be a horse and a rider who was called a euangelion would come riding full tilt into town and tell us all, the king has won, our soldiers are victorious. Good news, prepare to meet the king as he comes home victorious from battle. That was the euangelion, that was the good news. And so it is that there is a sense in which Jesus is the victor and the king, the one who overcomes. But this word was actually used by the church in the early centuries to describe the love movement of Jesus' followers that were spreading out all over the world with the gospel, the good news of God in Jesus Christ. So to be evangelical refers to a person, a church, or a denomination passionate about the good news of Jesus Christ and wanting to spread that good news out throughout the world. So as such then, we at HDK are called to be evangelical. We're called to be people of the word. And as such, we are a community of faith that is formed by the word and continually forming around that word. And so where do we find that word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news, that evangelical? Well, we find it in the Holy Scriptures, in God's Word written for us. Now, when we go to the Bible, we see that the Word is not only an informative Word. The Word is a powerful Word. If we go right back to Genesis 1, that most of you are probably familiar with, we see that God created the Word, the world, by speaking the Word. He said, let there be light, let there be sun, let there be moon, stars, and so on. And it all came into being as he spoke it. His word contains his will, his desire, and his purpose. God's word is powerful. And day by day, as he spoke the word for those first 5 days of creation, as he spoke, those things came into being, and he said, behold, it is good. But on that sixth day, when he had made everything, even humanity in his image, he looked back over it and said, behold, it is very good. But we know that by the end of Genesis 3, humanity had stuck things up. The people that God had made in his image rebelled against him. Adam and Eve brought sin and death into the world. And so God had to set about to redeem the world from sin and death. He had to put a plan of action into being. He went ahead then and made a covenant with a man named Abraham in Genesis 12. He thought he would try with him and his descendants. His descendants who became the tribe of Israel. But those people were no better than Adam and Eve. They ended up continually rebelling, continually disobeying God. And it broke his heart. He punished them. And that in the end he allowed the 10 tribes of the north of Israel to be overcome and taken into exile by the people of Assyria. And the bottom 2 kingdoms, the southern kingdoms of Judah, he allowed them to be overcome and taken into exile by the king and the people of Babylon. And so it's into this situation of the 2 southern tribes being in exile in Babylon that God sent Isaiah to them with this word of our text. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and yield and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I set it. You know, these two verses are pregnant with us with meaning about the word of God. Rain and snow come down out of heaven, meaning the sky. God's word comes to us down from out of heaven. Not the sky, but that place where God rules in purity and in perfection. And so he sends his word from this place of purity and perfection down to us, to this place of impurity and imperfection. The rain and the snow have their task, their purpose, and their task is built into their very being, into their nature, and that is to bring life. The earth of itself in this illustration doesn't bring life. The rain, the snow is what brings life. Moisture brings life. Without moisture, the seed doesn't sprout and grow. That which is green turns brown. Death occurs. Seeds don't sprout, and we know from the drought that we're growing through at the moment that this parable is very true. We need the rain, we need the moisture for life, and so that the farmers can make a living. So God puts this illustration into Isaiah's mouth so that we can know that God's word is for us, it's our living and our life, it's seed for the sower. How does the farmer get the seed to sow? It's by the moisture coming down. How do we have bread to eat from that seed that's in the ground? How do we have life and health and growth through that bread? It's by the moisture coming down. But so it is, as the rain and the snow contain life for earth, so it is that the word of God contains life for the world, but on a different level. The Israelites were in exile because of their disobedience towards God. All humanity is in exile from God because of their sin and disobedience towards God. But the good news is that God doesn't want to leave us there. He has a plan for us. His will and desire and purpose for us will be enacted upon us through his word. His word will accomplish what he desires and achieves the purpose for which he sent it. And that word came forth from his mouth in his Son, Jesus Christ, who was the Word. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 14, John tells us that Jesus is the Word who became flesh. The theological name for that is incarnate. The Word became flesh and made his living among us, full of grace and truth. By looking at the Son, he is the one with whom we know what the Father is like. The Father is full of grace and truth. Jesus is also the eternal one, the one who was with God before the very beginning. Jesus is also the one through whom everything was made. Everything that you can see outside was made through Jesus. Everything that you see on TV throughout the whole world was made through Jesus. And even you and I were made through Jesus. And he is also the light of men. He is the perfect man. And by being the Word, Jesus fulfilled all the promises of salvation that are contained in the latter part of our text, in verses 12 and 13. That salvation is contained in God's word. His plan, his desire, his purpose is fulfilled through Jesus. When Israel heard the words of verses 12 and 13, they were in exile. They were in Babylon. in captive slavery. But in his word, God promises them release. He says, you will go out with joy. You will be led forth with peace. You will return to Jerusalem. And there again you will re-inhabit the promised land and build the second temple, and God himself will live there with them. And as they find their way home, they will bring joy and peace and blessing. As they go, creation will rejoice. Instead of the thorn bush, there will be the pine tree will grow. Instead of briars, the myrtle tree will grow. The Lord's rescue, the salvation of his people, will not only be for people, but for all of creation. And it will be a sign, an everlasting sign, of the coming fullness of God's salvation and of his glory. And that salvation is ultimately to show itself in the person of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for us and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins, to rescue us from the curse of sin and death of the devil, and to take us home to him, to lead us on that path then to eternal life. We're on our way not to Jerusalem, but to heaven. And as we go, like the people of Israel, we will bring joy and peace wherever we go, because we have received that good news. We have received that salvation. And that word, as we heard, is not only a word for ourselves, it is a word for the whole of creation. As we go, we give him glory. As Isaiah says, glory, and all the world will see his renown. So as such that we are people who have received such wonderful blessings through the word of God written and the word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord, so it is that as people who are formed and forming around the word, that Christian practices pertaining to the word are important to us. There are three things that are very important to us. The first one is personal Bible reading and Bible study, that we read and study the word and get very familiar with it and understand it, and will even taking our whole life, we'll never fully understand it. The secondly, that we attend worship and hear the word of God proclaimed in the message each Sunday. And thirdly, that we take a verse or two of scripture and meditate upon it through the day. Let God's word speak to our hearts in a very personal and real way. This word contains life, as we heard from Isaiah. And how it is life for us is written about in 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17, where Paul writes, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for training, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul says all scripture is God-breathed. Now, I taught you a Greek word today. I want to teach you a Hebrew word, and I want you to say this word after me. Nephesh. Nephesh. Okay, give it a big shh at the end. Nephesh. Okay. Nephesh is a word that does what it sounds like. When you nephesh, you exhale, you breathe out. And in Genesis chapter 2, it's written that God took the dust of the ground and he formed a man, Adam. And into that dust, God nepheshed. He breathed out. He breathed life into that dust. And it became human. It became a man. It became Adam. And so in the same way, God breathed. He nepheshes the spirit, who is life, into that word, into the written word of the Holy Scriptures. So the word is God's agent of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And without the Holy Spirit working through that word, it would be nothing more than just another book. It would be poetry, prose, information, history, narrative, story. but by the Spirit's power, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, are life and health and growth for us. By the Spirit's power, Jesus brings us the fullness of salvation through that Word, the body, mind, and spirit. And it's interesting that Jesus also says of his word in John chapter 6, verse 33, "These words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So the God-breathed scriptures teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains us in righteousness so that we might live for God and do the things that God has had planned for us before we were born. So Bible study, preaching, and meditation on the Word are very important practices for us as a community of faith here at HTK, as we be an evangelical church, as we be a church of the good news. How will our church grow? How will we succeed in mission? The answer is by the Evangelion, the gospel, the good news. With God's word in our hearts and on our lips, we will indeed go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before us, because it will be good news not only for our community, but also for the whole of creation. Because this word is a cosmic word. So let us put our confidence for ministry and mission in proclamation of the word, not in church programs. Why? Because as God says, my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Because you see, if we make the word central to our life and our living as a church, and if we put our faith and our trust in that word, there's no chance of failure. That's what God says to us today in these words from Isaiah. That's his promise to us from which we can go out today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your mighty word, your mighty word that guarantees results. Indeed, Lord, it will not return to you empty. And indeed, as we speak your word and live your word, we will be blessed, and we will be a blessing to others who don't know you. And we will be a blessing not only to our community, but to the whole of creation as we shine your light as the light of me that you were, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, implant your word deeply in our hearts. And help us all, O God, to grow as people who study the Bible, as people who worship and hear the word preached, and as people who read your word, take it into our hearts, and carry it with us regularly in our lives to meditate upon it and to grow from it. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings to us that we have received from your written word, your spoken word, and most of all, the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his name we pray.